The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Welcome to Sports Radio New York, a network of New York sports talk shows heard on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. The following program is brought to you by Sports Radio New York.
Good evening. Welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday evening, July 27, 2014. We're part of the Sports Radio New York Network. The show is heard right here on AM 1240 WGBB every Sunday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. My name is Ray Moore and Brian White. Today we're going to discuss a lot of topics today, including the MLB Hall of Fame induction, which is today. Now, if anybody ever realized from this Hall of Fame that there's a lot of things we got to say. First off, you have about six of them that are being inducted. Tom Glavin, Bobby Cox, Tony La Russa, Frank Thomas, which I'm a fan favorite of Frank Thomas. I love how he plays the game. Joe Torre, and Greg Maddux. All those six of them will be in the Hall of Fame. But what I don't like about the Hall of Fame is that there's never a vote where it's going to be 100% for anybody. There's always that one writer, or maybe even two writers, where it'll be that 98% be voted in, that 2%. Why is he not voted in? Why is he that 2%? But what's so special about this is you got three managers, Joe Torre, Tony La Russa, and Bobby Cox, were Hall of Fame managers in their own perspective. They bring championships to their team. They bring the leadership. They know how to manage. They know how to succeed. They know how to have a championship run. And this probably would be that one time where you ever have all three of them in the same Hall of Fame class. What do you think?
And I love the Hall of Fame class, too, when you look at the managers and what they are there to accomplish in their years. I love Joe Torre. I mean, I think what he did for New York and then, you know, what he went to L.A. and tried to do something over there. But I think I'm happy. The first time in the Hall of Fame class, I'm happy of all the players and coaches that are in the managers that are in there without any scrutiny. Normally, it's always that one person you question why they did get in or why did this person not get in. This time, I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm satisfied. There's no cause for me and that.
I mean, Frank Thomas is in the Hall of Fame, too. And Frank Thomas has been a big player throughout the league. I mean, I've seen a fan favorite. One of my favorite plays of him was when he hit that home run. I think it was, I don't know if it was against the Angels or Rockies, but he smacked that bat down because, you know, he has a home run. Like, that's how big balls he is and stuff. But what I don't like about the Hall of Fame, especially with these beat writers, is the fact that there's always, you know, like I said before, there's always that 2%, 3% where the guy's not 100% into the Hall of Fame. And usually, especially ones that are not in, like Mike Piazza, for instance. Now, listen, I'm not a Mets fan. I'm a Yankees fan. But Mike Piazza was probably one of the offensive best catcher of all time. And the fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame is making me feel disgusted against him with these beat writers. And also, I know because of the steroid era with Barry Bonds, Mark McGuire, all those people, they're not in the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens, they're not in the Hall of Fame. But they're going to get to the Hall of Fame eventually. I mean, people just got to let this go already. You know, I know they took steroids, but they got to get going.
I mean, it's how you look at it, too. It's the perception of everything. When you look at a player like Mike Piazza, right, there are many individuals, you know, sports writers, everyone, who say, okay, he should be in the Hall of Fame. But when it's time to voting, every year he's out. There has to be a specific reason for that. Is it the stats? Is it he didn't put up enough Hall of Fame numbers to do it? There are different variables why players like Mike Piazza does not get into the Hall of Fame. I think that's one of the things that's intriguing about baseball Hall of Fame, is that it doesn't matter how well a player can play, how consistent is he, you know, how often did he do it? When did his career start going up or down? Were there controversy, especially in the era we've been in now with the Bonds, you know, usage of steroids and all that type of stuff. So it is unique in that aspect of all the other sports. When you look at the Hall of Fame, many other sports, you look at it, a player is a Hall of Fame or not because of stats and everything. And baseball is different. Baseball is, okay, you have the numbers, but how many years did you put up the numbers for? And I think that's what happened with Mike Piazza.
Well, it's pretty, in my opinion, disappointing that he's not even in the Hall of Fame. And also, I know that the Barry Bonds and Mark McGuire, the steroids and all that stuff, but they just got to let it go. These guys got to let it go because, in reality, baseball has gone down ever since the steroid era. And I'm going to tell you why. Because even though they haven't taken steroids, most of these players, and I know it's still finding out, just as players like Alex Rodriguez and Ryan Braun, a lot of the people miss the long home runs and those 60-yard home run people that players have, or 50, 70 home runs. And I know the pitchings have these no-hitters now. It has so many no-hitters in 1 year with the season. But you see a lot of empty seats in stadiums now. You see a lot of players, a lot of fans not watching the game anymore. They watch it once in a while. I mean, to be honest, I watch the Yankees game, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. But depending on what game it is, I watch it in and out. I'm not, like, into it like I used to before back then. But probably because of the long home runs that you missed and all these close games and the 70 home runs and 190 RBIs, it's just going down in the sport.
Yeah, but then also you have to look at it. You have true fans that will forever be diehard baseball fans.
And I respect that.
And then you have, you know, average fans that are interested because of the players. When you look at in the 90s, when you have the steroids era, right, when you have the Barry Bonds, Mike McGuire, the Sammy Sosa, they were hitting home runs consistently, right? It was like, all right, who's going to get the MVP? You know, oh my goodness, how far can they, how many home runs can they hit? There's that intrigue that's going on with that. Now, it's there may be 3 or 4 players every year that's going to put up numbers. You know, you're not going to be surprised. Somebody's not going to come out and surprise you anymore in terms of home run hitting and things of that nature. So I don't think baseball doesn't have that it factor anymore that he had when the steroids era was going, because they don't have the guys that being big and bulky, hitting home runs on a consistent basis, you know, going to the edge of the season of who's going to be MVP, who's going to get 50 home runs, you know, 130 RBIs. That aspect of the game has decreased. And I think, in my opinion, I think that's why the ratings has decreased in baseball. But I think baseball's going to be fine. All those TV commercials, all those deals that have side deals, baseball is fine. Baseball is perfectly fine.
Will we ever see any induction like this ever with these three managers and what they accomplished in their teams?
I don't think so. Just because of their accomplishment, you know, and how they did it. I don't think so. They're not just only great managers. They're great human beings as well. Right, Joe Torre, one of the most professional ambassador of the sport. When you look at him, you look at Bobby Cox. You know, look what he did over those many years. You know, look at La Russa. So I think those different aspects. I love Frank Thomas. I think he was the most professional athlete, a baseball player. He can very quiet on the radar, do his thing, come off. I love this draft, this class, this Hall of Fame class. I think it's every year is always something. It's like, why this player didn't make it? This year, I'm content. I'm very content.
What do you have for next year, then, in this class? You think Mike Piazza can finally get in?
I was never a big Piazza fan.
Really?
I was never used on him.
I mean,
I was always impressed with him as a hitter and you know, and a catcher, but I was never used on
him. He put some good stats, though, over those years, and they went to the World Series with him. Remember that? No, Yankees beat him, but, yeah, they went to the World Series.
But they never won the World Series.
But he still is one of the best offensive, probably the best offensive catcher in MLB history.
Do you think that the way that players get into the Hall of Fame should change?
What do you mean
the process?
The process?
Do you think the process should change? The Hall of Fame process should change?
It should. It shouldn't be based on a bias or I don't like this player and all that stuff. Because a lot of these beat writers, I mean, let's be honest, everybody has an ego. So when they look at a player, they don't like that player probably because of this or that. Not with the stats. Maybe he's just a person as a person, or maybe he has something against him, like a grudge or something like that. It has to change that process. It can't just be like that. It has to be more of a professional vote based on his stats, based on what he accomplished, and what he brings to the game.
I give you this, though. When you look at Joe Torre, right, who's in the Hall of Fame, being inducted today, his name was in the conversation to be the next commissioner for baseball. Let's just show you how big of a man he is, how professional he is, how he handles his business, and how many people respect him, and how he was a manager and a player before that. So that to tell you the amount of people that's in this class and the professionalism that they have.
Well, yeah. We can with that. Well, you know, going from the MLB, let's get into the NFL now with this Ray Rice situation. And people could call in at 631-888-8811 on this controversy with the suspension. And what I'm going to do here is, first, before we get into suspension, I want to read what Ray Rice said about after the suspension. And he quote, "It is disappointing that I would not be with my teammates for the first 2 games of the season, but that's my fault. As I said earlier, I fail in many ways, but Janae and I have learned from this. We have become better as a couple and as parents. I am better because of everything we have experienced since that night. The counseling has helped me tremendously. My goal is to earn back the trust of the people, especially the children. I let down because of this incident. I am a role model, and I take that responsibility seriously. My actions going forward will show that. Now, from that speaking, we got to say that he's trying to be as honest as he can and experience from this tragedy of this hitting his woman. But what I see from this is that two games for him is not good enough, in my opinion. I believe for me, it would have been at least half of the season. And the reason why I say that is because you don't put your hands on another woman, especially even if it's your wife or you're about to be your wife, or even just a girlfriend. You don't put a hand on any woman, period. That's disrespectful. And that should, first of all, that's actually an assault. If it was in the public, he would have been arrested maybe 5 years in jail. So for that situation, I know that a lot of people think that two games probably is good enough because it's the NFL stuff, but then people get four games for these players in the marijuana situation. But I know it's completely different topics.
The reason why I'm not too upset about how many games he got suspended, right? Because he was not charged. Yes, it was supposed to be an assault, but it wasn't, right? Whatever the plea that he made with the law attorney or whatever happened with them, he was not charged. Based on that, I don't think the NFL was supposed to put on another jurisdiction. Or, okay, you assaulted your wife. It was domestic abuse. It's his first offense. Let's hit you in 8 games of the season. That, to me, is unfair. When you take drugs and you abuse the policy, there's literally no drug use policy within the NFL. There's nothing in the NFL that says about domestic violence. No one in the NFL knows how to put any type of suspension or anything of that to penalize or to discipline a player when it comes to domestic violence. They have to let everything go to the courts first, see what happens, and then Roger Goodell makes the decision. So that's why I'm not too upset about how many suspensions he has, because he was not charged with it. Yes, the offense is awful. You know, a man should never hit his wife. Yes, we understand all this. But when you look at the process of how it was handled, I think we're discussing what he did to his wife. Now wife, then she was his fiance.
It's disrespectful.
Very. However, in terms of the punishment that he received, I have no problems with it.
I mean, I have a problem with it because it makes the NFL look bad in terms of being more strict on their message. Especially if pretty much you're saying is that any NFL player could just hit their wife and then they could get away with it 2 games only.
That's not what they're saying. What they're saying is we let the courts and the law enforcement handle the decision first. Let them handle it. And then after what comes out, right, she came up publicly and she stood by her then fiance, now husband, right? And then they made the decision. That's what the NFL did. In terms of the drug policy, there is a no drug use within the NFL. So they can suspend a player for how many games because that's an NFL policy. There's no such thing as an NFL policy when it comes to domestic violence. There's nothing about it. They have to wait, let the due process go through with the courts first, and then see if he's then been charged. Then they can make a decision.
Well, let's look at this from a mindset of an NFL player. Now we know how the mindset of an NFL player is. All these players have an aggressive mentality to be violent because of the sport. And they get away with mostly a lot of stuff between car crashes, you know, Aaron Hernandez situation. A lot of these players do whatever they want, bars, parties, Johnny Manziel, sex, or all that stuff. And we look at it from a psychological perspective of the NFL player is that this is a pretty much a violent sport. And a lot of these players have a mindset where they just... they do a lot of these criminal acts, such as like this, or even getting in the bar, getting in trouble, or just doing whatever. And the NFL has to find a way to make it more of the rules being enforced in terms of being a role model to the children, especially to the female fans, because the last thing you need is them being a threat to them, especially in the community. Secondly, they need to understand that these players have to be more responsible of their actions, or else they got to be more subject to discipline. And 2 games, in my opinion, is not good enough for this, especially if it was on video that we saw him drag her out.
Like I said, what he did was, I was disgusted from seeing the video. But when you look at the whole process that happened, I have no problem with it. I know everyone is upset about it. They want him to get so many more games. You know, you want him to get 8 games suspended for the season. How I look at it is, look, now we know that the NFL needs to have a domestic abuse policy, you know, policy about every other criminal act not just for drug abuse. There's a, you know, it's clad. NFL has ironclad rule about, you know, zero tolerance in drug usage. So it's easy to suspend somebody for four games, right? But now that we saw what happened with Ray Rice, is okay, we need to be better aware of what's going on with domestic abuse, right? Why didn't he get charged? What happened? Was it because she was scared of him? Is because she's dependent on him financially? All these type of things. Now the NFL, I think, from this case, can go forward and make stricter rules. But I am, like I said, I'm disgusted what he did, right? But then you have to look, take a step back and look at it. It's one of the first cases that's been public in NFL eyes.
All right, let me ask you this question, though. How does this incident affect the mindset of football female fans?
I mean, obviously, they're going to be outraged because then, you know, they're looking at Roger Goodell to give him more penalty, to penalize him more. So, obviously, in that, they're going to be upset. They're going to feel like, you know, the NFL doesn't have female backs. There have been a lot of issues in the past with females in terms of NFL players, you know, all that type of stuff. So, it hasn't, I don't want to say it's going to affect the NFL negatively for a while, but I think the first couple of games in the regular season, especially Baltimore game, you're going to see protests. You're going to see women, you know, voice their opinions on these matters. That's for sure.
Okay, well, then let me ask you this question then about Ray Rice. Now that he has said this and now he wants to get back in his trust and everything, you think people can forgive him with this incident? Or is it going to take a while like Michael Vick did with the dog handler?
Two different things. If you look at it, I don't see everyone going on a media going at Ray Rice in the NFL how people went at Michael Vick. It's two different.
I agree with you with that.
Michael Vick was, you know, America's sweetheart in terms of NFL. You know, he couldn't believe that he was doing this to the dogs, right? But it shows you where America is right now in terms of domestic violence and what Michael Vick did. If you remember, every TV channel you went on, there was some story about Michael Vick and dogs and then, you know, more dogs coming up, more people involved, all this type of stuff. This was one isolated incident with Ray Rice, a disgusted incident where he made a mistake with his then fiance, and the NFL didn't punish them as many women or men would have wanted him to. That's two different situations. Two very different situations.
It may be different in terms of what happened, but it's not different in terms of the mentality of other people.
I mean,
because
look at Michael Vick went to prison.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But he went to prison. Ray Rice got two games suspension. That was it.
Which I thought Ray Rice should have been in prison for what he just did, but he didn't. Which is why I know there's a big difference between Michael Vick going in jail and Ray Rice not going in jail. But in terms of what happened, it's not really exactly different because everybody has their own opinion, of course, on the feelings of the dog lovers, especially, and those that don't want to be assaulted by their own husband, for instance, by what Ray Rice just did. But if you put it all together, actually, it all falls into exactly what I just said before about the psychological aspect of an NFL player, especially in the league, because the NFL players have the mindset to do whatever they want to do and not get away with it as much. I know Josh Gordon, for instance, he got suspended for the season for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
That's one example. And another example is Aaron Hernandez with the charges that he had against him. He had Ray Lewis back before 2000 about killing somebody.
He had the trial, all that
stuff. You had a lot of these players get into trouble, like for instance Mark Sanchez with his video scandal, these ladies and all that stuff. It all follows back into what I said before about the NFL players, completely different from the other sports.
But it's different for many reasons. For number one, the NFL, the National Football League is the number one sport in America.
It is.
Right? But in terms of the Super Bowl and the advertisement and everything that goes into it. So you have, NFL players have more pressure on them, right? They're also, the players, most of them, doesn't get paid that well in terms of other sports when you look at it. Right? So they have more pressure to do well for their teams. Right? They're not making as much money, plus the stress of our average Joe life. So when you put all that together, mistakes are going to be made. We're all human beings. We're all going to make mistakes. So I'm not one individual who would always criticize the player for making a mistake. He's a human being. He's going to make mistakes. You come back and you play the game. Right? I think we need to try and separate playing the sport and what you do with your personal life. Now you need to conduct yourself in a professional manner because you are a part of the league. which is something that I think Ray Rice, you know, needs to learn, given it was his first offense that we know about. Michael Vick, same thing. He went through a transformation with his whole dog scandal, you know, and look, he is a better man today than what I've seen. So I think every player in the NFL are going to make the mistakes. Some of them are highlighted, some of them aren't. It's just ones that are highlighted has to be punished accordingly.
Is there a lack of professionalism, though, with these players? In terms of showing them to be a role model, especially children watching the sport?
In terms of lack of professionalism, they still have to live their life. Yeah, I don't think, not because you play this sport, you know, we can, as fans, we should tell you how to live your life.
Well, yeah.
You have to live your life. But you have to also, you know, that you're not bigger than the game, you're not bigger than life. Yes, you're making money, yes, you're having fun, and all these type of things are going on, but to always be a gentleman and to be professional in whatever you do at all times.
But let me think of it this way then. Let's say, for instance, for our jobs, you know, we gotta be professionals for what we do. You know, especially hosting this show right now. Us trying to be journalists in the world, in the career. We have to hold ourselves to being more of a model because a lot of people, especially athletes, look at us and our writings and what we do can affect their reputation. Some of us don't, journalists go through that situation where we get criticized for what we write and we have to back it up with facts and also why mm-hmm. we believe in this. So looking from that perspective, it's almost as if we have to prepare ourselves to be more responsible in terms of we know we're going to get criticized. We know we're going to have a lot of problems, especially with the community, but we have to know how to handle that.
All right. I understand what you're saying, but you look at it as journalists, right? Journalist's job is to keep the sport honest, right? If a player is being out of shape or being fat or doing things that he's not supposed to be doing, right? And we're paying tickets, we're spending our time watching the games. Right? Journalists keep them honest, right? That's the point of being a journalist. You're objective. You keep the coaches honest. You keep everyone honest in a situation. That's a journalist's job, right? A football player's job is to play football. What a journalist does outside of his professional career is under more scrutiny in terms of what he does, because if I'm a journalist and I have a brother in the NFL, and I write great things about this horrible team all the time, then we're looking at, you know, it's going to be some favoritism. I'm being more subjective other than being objective, right? Because I might have something to gain from it because I have a family member of the team. Football players don't have that. It's you go out, you play football. You understand what I'm saying? So in terms of that psychological aspect of pressure being on football players, I just think they need to take more accountability themselves. Unlike many other sports in this country, they have to spend another year in college.
Yeah.
Right? So that's another year to mature. You come out to the NFL, you're 20, 21 years of age, unlike if you're 18, 19 in the NBA, where you're still a teenager. You were young men. Ray Rice has been in this league. He went to Rutgers University, right? He was under good coaching under Coach Luciano. Right? So he has that fundamental to know he was built like that. He's not a person that every week or every month you hear something different with Ray Rice of having an event. It's a horrible, horrible case that happened. But I just think people are blowing out of proportion for the wrong reasons. He should be charged. He should face some time for abusing his fiance. But I think in terms of the suspension he got, I agree with it.
What do you say about reputation, though? You know, reputation is a big factor, especially in athletes.
I don't think his reputation took the hit as much as people anticipated it would, because he and his fiancée then married and they became husband and wife. And then they're taking the situation as a couple and addressing the fact that, yes, he did wrong, but he also did many rights. And, you know, and she's also come and defending him in that thing. Maybe it's because she's a victim and she don't want to be furtherly abused in that aspect, but because they then married and he's then matured and he has handled the situation well in terms of the after the fact.
Yeah.
The NFL dropped the ball in a suspension, but he has represented himself well, I think. So I'm.
Well, we'll see about that. We'll see what they do as the weeks go by. Maybe they found something about him. Maybe not. But, you know, he has two games. So In all likelihood, fans will probably forget about when NFL season starts.
I doubt that. This is a big case.
But it is, but in reality, as a regular fan, they just want to see their team play and forget about all that stuff. You know how the fans are. They just want to play. They want to win these games. They want to get to the Super Bowl, all that stuff.
Do you believe that this put more pressure on Roger Goodell?
It does. Because now he's going to have to figure out now if the next, let's say the next incident happens, whatever is assault or marijuana, he has to figure out how to either level up the punishment or make it reasonable.
But marijuana is different because it's a no drug use policy in the NFL.
It is. But let's see what he does. Let's say another assault happens.
I'll pay very close attention to what happens with that.
We'll see what he does with that. You know, now the NFL training camp's underway. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an interesting response that Geno Smith and the Jets say, especially Jets in training camp. And coming up, I'm going to talk about what Geno Smith said about his remarks to the training camp so far. This is on Sports 12:40 AM WGBB in Long Island.
Listening to Sports Radio New York on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
Check out the Sports Radio New York network of shows every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. Call into our live shows at 631-888-8811. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Radio NY. And be sure to check out all past shows online at sportsradiony.com. And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Hey, welcome back to Sports Talk 1240 AM on this Sunday evening. I'm Brian White, of course, with Graham Mora. We're back to talking about Jets and Giants. We're going to start off with Geno Smith and the comments that was made.
Well, interesting comments that he made. It made me laugh for a second because I'm like, he left himself too much wide open of his expectations already, and he's only in the second year, and also with D. Milner in his comments as well. But let me read what he said on the court, on the poll especially. The thing about it is that you have to climb up. If I'm number 32 by this time next year or this year after, I expect to be in the top five. You know, man, I've gotten to prove them wrong. In the end, none of that matters. My key job is to make sure this team is improving, and I'm doing everything I can for the betterment of this team. Now, being a top five quarterback, especially in your second year and you're ranked number 30, it's a little bit too much for a quarterback that hasn't even proven himself yet that he's the top 15. So, Geno Smith, I like his confidence. I like what he's doing right now in training camp. A lot of positive comments about him and his off-season workouts and his work ethic. But he's got to take it down just a little bit before he gets up to that top five.
I disagree with you.
What?
It's good to have confidence.
It is. I'm screaming on his confidence.
He was supposed to be a first-round draft pick. And we all saw what happened with that. You know, he fell. And he had to prove. He surprised a lot of people last season how well he played, especially late in games. Right? He made some rookie mistakes. He was a rookie. I think he's going to come out and he's going to improve and do better. I don't think he's going to be a top five. I like the confidence. You know, show people, look, I believe in myself. I believe in the skills that I have. And I'm going to come out and prove it to y'all that, you know, I'm supposed to be a top five quarterback. Every quarterback should have that mentality.
They should. But in reality is, he should have not said that yet.
Don't forget, when Eli Manning came out and said, look, I'm an elite quarterback.
Oh, here we go with the
Hold on. He came out and he had one of the best seasons we've seen.
He backed it up. See, if Jim doesn't back this up, it would make him look
bad. Don't know it. That now everyone is going to watch television, watch the games, and see if he's going to back it up. It's good TV.
It is good TV. And people will call in at 631-888-811 on your comments with the Jets and this comment. But to me, he needs to take it down a little bit, slow it down, take a few steps back first, get yourself into that top 15 before you get yourself to top 5. It's like you're jumping ahead. It's almost like, let's say you're doing homework, right? Let's say for school, right? You did that homework, and then there's a homework due 2 weeks after, and you're jumping ahead already, but you haven't learned that stuff yet. You got to go back a little bit, learn what you have before you jump ahead. I know he's gotten better in the offseason. I know that he's trying to prove to himself that last year was bad because of his wide receiving core. I know that Michael Vick's putting pressure on him, and I know that Rex Ryan and Igzig are also putting pressure on him. But if I like his confidence. He just needs to slow it down, take a deep breath, take it one day at a time in this training camp, and then after that you take it one game at a time. That's all I'm going to say.
In terms of his playmaking abilities, yes, take it one game at a time. But instead of saying, look, you know what? I think next year I'll be a top five quarterback.
That's a little too much.
I don't think so, because look who's in the top five this year.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers.
And Luck.
Right. Top five.
This is Luck's third season in the NFL. Next year would be... No, I'm not comparing Andrew Luck, obviously, with Geno Smith. It was the number one overall pick. Just fell out of the first round, ridiculously. So, I'm not making a comparison. What I'm saying is, it can be done. You can be in the top five in three NFL seasons. So, I like the confidence he showed. I love it, by the way. You know, make the cover, no, you say it, no, go and prove it, back it up. I think people love sports personnel and players who can say something and then go back it up. And I think that's what he's doing. Can he back it up? It's yet to be seen. He's not the best decision maker yet in his career. You know, he still makes some mistakes, turn the ball over when it was obvious, you know, you could go the other way, to make some simple reads. He got to improve in those departments. But I love his confidence. Come on and say, look, you know what? I think by next year I'll be a top five quarterback. And I'm going to show you the progress that I've made from college to my rookie season to now my second season.
Well,
I love it.
I'll give you one positive remark on that, though. I know after that Falcon game, he had pretty much his perfect game of the season for him, and probably his best game of his career so far. There was an article I read on Yahoo Sports about him and his work ethic. And what I read from it is that he's a film freak, pretty much in the film, 24/7. He takes it seriously. He's not a party guy. He's more of, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to go do my stuff, go home, do more work on it, go back. You know, do all that stuff. He's more of a serious person. He's not like Mark Sanchez, who's partying and everywhere he goes and doing clothing and being on the magazines and front cover and athletes making fun of him for that and him partying with girls. He's not like that. He's a serious kid. He's a quiet kid. We have to see what Smith is going to become, though. I believe he had a chance to be a top 10, not top 5, at least not yet, by next year. And if he's top five by next year, then Sylvia makes us Jet fans feel happy about that. But let's take it one day at a time about that. And speaking of work ethic, from reading from this, I read something about Drew Brees and his work ethic. And the amount of time he takes seriously, especially at 35 years old, it's incredible what he does to keep himself in shape for this, as being the Saints quarterback.
Work ethic is great. You can have the best work ethic, and then you come out and you still don't produce. At the end of the day, you have to... It's X and O's. You have to execute the plays and execute them at the right time. Right? Drew Brees has an excellent career. I think he has a good 4 more, 5 more seasons in him before he can call the day. He's just playing superb football. It's great. I love what he's doing.
Top five quarterback all time? Not top five all time.
I'm not going to give him top five all time. Just because there's something about him that just made me always pause. And he has really good receivers, but... 3 NFL seasons, 5,000 yards, you're in the top 10 automatically. top five, I have Brady, I have Manning, I have Montana. You know, I'm a little old school when it comes to quarterbacks.
John Elway.
I like John Elway, but the Steelers quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Terry Bradshaw?
I love, obviously people are like, oh, no, he's not, you know, he's not a top
five. You know what he reminds me of?
But he has the championship. He has the Super Bowl. Yeah. So, like, look, he did something right to win all the games with, like, great defense back in the day.
You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of Russell Wilson. And the reason why I say that,
really?
That team, that Steelers team back in the
season. With the defense.
That reminds me of the Seahawks team. And I feel like they could be the dynasty just like that. And the reason why I say that, because after the NFC Championship when Russell Wilson won against the 49ers, Terry Bradshaw was right there. Russell Wilson asked him a question. How would you do it? How would you win the Super Bowl? And he said, just do it, something like that. And after that, I kind of knew both of them had something in common, that they had a great defense. They had much their offense was okay but not great as their defense. And they just had the mentality to play hard and win. And Russell Wilson reminds me of Terry Bradshaw and some of that characteristics.
Russell Wilson, he's where he should be, I think. With that defense, how good is he? He has some really good offensive weapons.
He's getting better, though.
He's getting better. I love the fact that he stays in the pocket and throw first. And he will still move around in the pocket and buy time before he actually go and pick up a first down with his feet. So I love what he's doing. I think Geno Smith needs to learn from that.
He needs to learn from that from Aaron Rodgers. Players that Andrew Luck especially, players that don't run, they're more of a pocket first. And they see an opportunity on a run, they take advantage of it.
Andrew Luck is very mobile for his size.
He's a Ben Roethlisberger and Michael Vick combined. That's how I always say about Andrew Luck. He's a combined Vick and Roethlisberger.
He's a freak of nature. He's a freak of nature.
He has the size of Big Ben. He has the elusiveness of either Michael Vick or Cam Newton. Cam Newton's like that, too. He has the big size, and he could move around. He could take a hit. But, you know, thinking from the training camp, it also comes to the Jets' expectations this year. What do you have for them this year?
Playoff. I think they're going to be like a wild card team.
Yeah. I haven't been winning the division.
Woo! Please explain yourself, Seth. Please explain yourself.
Well, based on these comments, even though I'm saying he should be top 10, take it slowly, it all depends on the weapons around him. Now, they upgraded with Decker.
Mm-hmm.
They upgraded with Chris Johnson. They still have Ivory. Still have Powell. They have Michael Vick as their backup. The key for them is the wide receiving core of Decker, of Curley, of Nelson. Stephen Hill is my X factor, because if he has the potential to be what he is meant to be, they can go as far as they want to go.
I have a question for you. How many great NFL teams have we seen that never won a Super Bowl?
A lot.
Exactly. So you can be a great team and not win a Super Bowl. And we've seen average teams in the regular season, and then when playoffs start, they go up a next gear, and then they were just superb, right? We saw the Giants did that twice, right? Baltimore did that. So Green Bay, to me, wasn't a great team when they won. To me, everyone, you know, they had the quarterback, they had a defensive player, and then they just made the right plays, and they won the Super Bowl. I don't know that was a great team. So with the Jets, I do think they're a playoff team. I think they're solid on defense. Offensively, they're better this year than they were last year.
I mean, if you think of a battery, 5%, they're up to like at least 80% right now.
And they were 8-8 last year.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be 10-6, 9-7,
12-4. I'm gonna tell you this one.
Bold prediction, man. That's a bold prediction.
They picked the last year. This is my prediction. They picked it the last year. They were 4-4. They're gonna be 4-12. They went 8-8. This year they picked it the 8-8. They're gonna be 12-4. They're up by 4 wins.
I see them going 10-6. I really think they're a solid 10-6 team.
Realistically, I believe they can go 10-6 as well. But potential-wise, they could go 12-4.
If Geno Smith can improve, as he said he can and he will, then I can see them going 12-4. But I don't think he's going to improve that quickly. Because remember, coming out into the draft, his work ethic was questioned.
His work ethic was incredible.
It was questioned at first. Remember, the writer came out and he wrote it, and well, these were the comments that his teammates made. Now, he has shown that article is to be questioned, because now he's in the NFL, he has put out great work ethic. All his teammates has great things to say about him. But then he makes some comments that make you question his maturity sometimes. I love his confidence. I love his skill set. I think he can pass the ball. He's mobile. He's a pocket passer. He's not a mobile quarterback as a lot of people believe him to be. He stays in the pocket.
Yeah, he's a pocket passer.
And then, you know, if he breaks down, yeah, then he get a 5 yards to pick up a first down. But I love the assets that he has. I love the offensive weapons they have now. And defense, they're always great on defense.
Yeah, they're always great, Rex Ryan.
10-6, maybe 11-5, but 10-6.
What's your X factor, though, for their offense? Mine's Stephen Hill.
Oh, man, on their offense? Decker. It has to be Decker. I want him to prove me wrong, so he can be number one.
I don't believe he's number one, though.
Believe in it. Well, he could go out there and put up, if he put up the numbers, I don't care about it. If he can put up number one, the money he's getting for it, and put up the numbers.
He's a big receiver.
But I think he's big.
He's 6'4".
Exactly. He's a big target. I really think Decker can prove many people.
You know, we got an interesting matchup with him and Revis. That first game, I cannot wait for that matchup of both of them, because he's a big receiver. I know Revis is small, but he's still good.
Revis is not the same player. People are just on this, have this notion that he's this great defensive player. Since the knee injury, he doesn't look that great.
Coming back from an ACL injury is very, very hard. You're not really the same player that you were before.
Exactly. That's the problem. Take it down a notch. It's not Revis Allen anymore. Take it down a notch.
Well, we look at their season right now. You know, the beginning of the September is actually pretty tough for them. Now, for the Jets, they're facing the Raiders, the Packers, the Bears, and the Lions. Now, 3 at home and 1 on the road against the Packers. So, what do you expect for them against Oakland? Is it a win?
Yeah, I think Oakland's a win.
What about at Green Bay?
That's a loss.
Some loss? Wow.
Aaron Rodgers is back with a vengeance. Yeah. He's back with a vengeance, man. I'm not picking.
What about the Bears on Monday Night Football?
You know what? I'll take the Jets on Monday Night Football. That's the opportunity for Geno Smith.
I think Smith always rises on these national games where he plays the best.
I'm taking the Jets. I'll pick Geno.
The Lions.
I don't trust the Lions. For some reason, I don't trust the Lions,
but it'll be a tough game, though. I still see it.
I see Jets.
I see Jets in that one. Well, that's the first month. In October, they face. Now, this is a stretch where I don't like about the schedule. They signed him up with them on the month of October with 4 of the toughest teams probably, and all were playoff teams. Chargers, Broncos, Patriots, and Chiefs. Bills. Well, the Bills are suspect, but they've been improving, though. But Chargers, Broncos, and Patriots, I mean, that week is good. That 3-week stretch is going to be tough.
That 3-week stretch is going to tell us what we need to know about the Jets.
And the Broncos, and then the Patriots on that same week.
That is going to tell us what we need to know about the Jets. If they can put one out of the two, I think every fan is going to be like, whoo.
Well, the evidence proves that their offense is going to have to win these games, because I know these defenses are not going to hold against these great quarterbacks.
Remember, they were split last year against New England.
Yeah, I know.
Don't forget.
And the Broncos at home against the Broncos. Now, we know how tough the defense now has been with the additions that they have. And Peyton Manning's Peyton Manning, and Rex Ryan loves to be Peyton Manning every time.
Broncos,
so we gotta see what they do.
Are overrated.
In your opinion, overrated?
I think they're overrated. I think DeMarcus Ware, he has to prove that he's an elite defensive end in this league. I mean, they have some nice additions, but that has to prove that they're going to be a tough defense. Yes, they have the name on paper, but they have to execute X's and O's before they go on that bandwagon.
Okay. So, aside from the Jets, and we know expectations, we're going to talk to them more throughout the season. We're going to talk about their wins and losses, all that stuff. What about the Giants? Now, they retire Chris Knee. Yeah, he's retired. That's been a big blow for their offensive line, in my opinion, because he's a leader for that team. And the fact that their offensive line was just terrible last year, I think they're going to take a little bit of a step back, and they're going to struggle with that. But this new system that Eli Manning is more of a West Coast offense, taking the ball out of your hands. What do you see in Eli Manning in this system? You think it fits?
I think it fits just for the reason that it's going back to what Kevin Gibbard, his former offensive coordinator, what he did was, he took the ball out of his hand when we had some wide receivers that could run and get routes, right? With this new offense, they're doing a similar type of thing. It's more West Coast, yes, but they're taking the ball out of his hand so he doesn't make as much mistakes. Many of the interceptions he had last season were just him making bad decisions.
Miscommunications as well.
Yes, but his wide receivers weren't always healthy, right? So the tempo was off. Eli was doing some ankle problems. He had different things going on. I think this season he's going to prove many critics wrong. But I do like the Giants. I think quietly they're going to be the surprise.
What's your X factor for the Giants? My opinion, on the offensive side, it's got to have to be the running game, to be honest. Even though it's West Coast offense, but
Wilson is my X factor, because if he's healthy and he doesn't fumble the ball, if he can hold on to that football, he's explosive.
Playing hot potato with that football every time he's on the court.
And many of the time he drops it, he's been dropping it.
He's playing hot potato, man.
But if Wilson can hold on to the football and stay healthy, the Giants can surprise many teams in that division, because, you know, the East now is on notice. You know, you have Philadelphia, which everyone thinks to repeat winning the division.
I think they will.
The Cowboys will surprise many people, especially the defense. They're suspect right now because they lost their best player. They lost a couple of free agents. But I don't think they can be as bad as they were last year, because they were just horrible last year. Right?
Redskins.
The Redskins.
Come back.
RG3.
Have you seen his videos?
I've seen him. I'm not impressed.
Yeah.
Can his knee hold up? You know, can his knee hold up? And what's the addition, per se, with the new quarterback coach, you know, with new offensive coach? You know, how is it going to be? I think the Redskins are going to be 9-7. I think Philly's a little overrated.
Have you seen that backfield? You have McCoy and Sproles. That
X and O's, man. X and O's.
But they're a high
quarterback
offense.
Foles is right now. Yes, he did great last season. Do it another season.
Let's see,
we learned this with Eli Manning. You can be great one season, and then right, and everyone's okay. Yes, you were supposed to be number one pick. And the next season, you come and you lead the league in interceptions. You have to be consistent. Consistency is the name of the game in this NFL game.
But lack of consistency, then that's the thing. You have one great season, you have another bad season. That's lack of consistency for Eli Manning in general.
But Foles, though, I don't trust his arm. He doesn't have a strong arm.
He doesn't have a strong arm, but he knows how to play the game. He knows how to take care of the ball. He's not an intercepted guy. That's why he was 27-2 last year. He had only two picks throughout the whole season.
But then Deshaun Jackson helped him out a lot on those passes.
But that's why he's got Sproles now, and that's why he's got McCoy. You see, that backfield with him
is Sproles better pressure addition than Jackson? I don't think so. Sproles can run the ball, and he's going to take the short, you know, two catches, five yards catches, and put him into 10, 15 yards plays. Yes, he has that ability. And he is very, very underrated. Why, I do not know. Just look what he did at previous teams. But I don't think that's enough to put them in the contention that everyone is talking about them now, as if they're going to be a 12-4.
But you got the running rushing title, McCoy. And McCoy's McCoy. I mean, he's got cuts. It's unbelievable when he gets these cuts off.
I think they're going to figure out Foles in this second season. I really do. There's no excuse blaming on Michael Vick. There's nothing of that nature. There's no surprise factor. You got to come out, and on a weekly basis, you have to prove with your consistency, you know, accurate throwing, X's and O's, and to execute the plays to be that guy.
Remember, this is the last weekend of NFL. After this weekend, every weekend is an NFL game. At least one or two.
Whew. It's been a long
time.
Oh, man.
Well, let's look at the Giants' schedule. They open up against at Lions on Monday Night Football. And they're going to face the Cardinals next week, and then Texans, and then Redskins. What do you see against the Lions at Detroit?
You know, personally, I think they're going to lose that game. And I'm a Giants fan.
They always lose that first game, don't they?
But they always lose the first game. That's one. And secondly, they switch from season to season. One season, they're great on the road. Next season, they're great at home, right? However, the Lions have something to prove, especially in that first game. Because they have been on the cheese last three seasons. I think this season is the season for the Lions to prove something. So I think on the first game, they're going to come out just focus and determination to win that game. So I think the Giants lose that first game.
All right. Versus the Cardinals.
I think they'll win that game.
Cardinals defense is pretty good.
They're pretty good. But I do think after that first loss, they're going to come. All right, you know what? Let's settle down and execute a game plan.
Texans, win?
Win.
As a win.
Win. But okay. I am so eager to see the number one pick in the NFL.
Yeah, Clowney. You better watch out with Clowney, because he might sack Eli Manning, and that's not going to look pretty.
But you know what? I'm not going to be happy when he hits Eli. But I've never been this happy seeing a defense, just wanting to watch a defensive end and how he plays in that, because they're trying to put him in a linebacker position now in the Texans. So I want to see how they use him, because he runs a 4-4, 4-5. He's a beast.
Okay, and then Thursday Night Football, which I like Thursday Night Football. I don't know why.
I'm not a fan.
You're not a fan of Thursday Night Football?
I'm not a fan of Thursday
Really?
Football. No,
but like the theme? You don't like the intro?
I love the theme and everything, but you see, now I have to give up some else of my time towards Thursday Night Football. Okay. Before, it was Sunday night, Monday night, and I get to relax for the week. Now, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. Can I have Thursday? But I love Thursday Night Football games. There's always some rival games. It's some traditional games going on. It's always fun to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're facing the Redskins on Thursday Night Football. And
that's going to be a good one.
This year, everybody can actually watch it now because it's on CBS. It's not NFL Network anymore like it used to be.
That's going to be a good one. That's going to be a good one. I think that game should see where both teams are at. Because they had trouble off the tree last season.
You think obviously. By that time, the records, you think it will matter? Like week four? Let's say Giants are 2-2. Two and one heading into this game, and Redskins are 2-1 heading into this game.
10 games into the season is when records really do matter. Because we've seen teams have a poor start and then end strong, they make the playoffs. And we've seen the Giants start 6-2 and lose the rest of the games and not make the playoffs. So it's not how you start, it's how you finish in the NFL. And the NFL has proved that time and time again. So the first 8 games of the season are not irrelevant, obviously, because then you're going to see what injuries can happen, you know, pickups can happen. There's so many things that goes on in the NFL game, and there's so many injuries that's been going on. It's too much, in my opinion, that, you know.
Well, you know, we'll be going to these games. You know, hopefully we get into these games.
We will be going to these games. We'll cover it, write articles, and interviewing players.
We will get into these games. And these training camps as well, especially the Giants and the Jets, because we got to get more on these players.
I would love to see how Tom Coughlin, how he's dealing with not having his son-in-law anymore.
Yeah.
On the team.
I know.
That's a dynamic thing. I was like, you know, how are you able to coach your son-in-law for all these years and not clash? Because, you know, if anything happens to that household, you know, you deal with my daughter. That's nothing to play with, man.
That's very interesting. Now, we got a little bit of time here. You know, talking about the Yankees and their run to the playoffs. Is that realistic?
It is realistic. I mean, they're, what, 4-1? But they've been playing good baseball.
I think it's fool's gold, to be honest.
It's not fool's gold. But I'm cautious about Tanaka, right? I mean, all the games I've watched this year are the games that Tanaka pitched in. Right? I'm getting tired of this Derek Jeter going off 40. I'm tired of that. But I love watching Tanaka pitch.
You seen the commercials?
I have seen. That was a very good.
Very
MJ?
Goosebumps. Yeah, very goosebumps in the commercial.
Man, MJ? Jay-Z?
Almost brought me a tear because it's my childhood is over pretty much with Derek Jeter. He's been through my childhood.
And a Capitan.
He's pretty much been there. Also, the Mets. Well, you know the Mets. You already told me.
Yes, I told you.
But, you know, if you look at it close, they're actually really close to the wild card.
Which we knew would happen.
Yeah.
Right? Because they do have good pitching.
That's what I thought. They'd be fine for the second wild card.
They do have good pitching. But I always say this to you. They tank this whole season and said, you know what, let's wait till Harvey come back and let's see what guys from the farm system can do. And those guys have stepped up and show that they deserve to be in the Major League Baseball.
Troy Tulowitzki actually has been an interesting topic for the Mets in terms of, we want to trade for Troy Tulowitzki, and we're all in for it, apparently. You think that's a good trade for them?
Not right now.
Not right now?
Not right now. I like the hunt for that second wild card. Let's keep it at that.
The Yankees are asking to trade as well. The Yankees need to do a trade.
The Yankees already made a trade.
They made a trade before, but they got to do one more. I think they're trying to get Ian Kennedy from the Padres.
That I like, because they needed that. All right, but I like the Yankees. I would love to see them make the playoff and see if they can make a push with Derek Jeter's last.
Yeah. I'm going to get into playoffs just to see Derek Jeter.
Exactly.
Last
I love watching baseball in the playoff. Yankees in the playoff. Are they going to get that next one? Right? What's going to happen? Everything about it, the drama, it's beautiful.
Okay, we got time here. What about the Knicks on Carmelo Anthony on his... I don't think it's the money. I just want to win.
We all know it's all about the money.
I know.
He took $5 million less.
Let's be realistic here, okay? He's taking $5 less, and he just wants the money. You don't have to say
it's
that.
It's about the money.
And it's okay. I mean, it's okay.
It's not okay.
Yes, it is.
No.
If we were me and we had a conflict situation where you want the money on this one network over another network, wouldn't you take that money?
Not necessarily. Let's say this is why I say that, right? Brotherhood, and it's the end goal, right? You and I want to be successful journalists in a career. But we want, want to go there, hopefully, together or separate. One wishes our best, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Look at the winners in the NBA now. They always have to sacrifice something. Dwayne Wade sacrificed in Miami to win two rings.
Don't give me that.
Tim Duncan took less money so he could come back and win the championship after they lost last year.
I give him credit for that.
And they look great this year, right?
For that.
So you're not going to take $5 million less, making $124 million. Right. How about you not be tired in the fourth quarter and finish? How about Carmelo Anthony do that? How about he does that?
But players are tired of this because the owners and their CBA rules have not allowed players to have these max contracts, and they're just sick and tired and say, I want my max contract. I deserve it.
I
want to
see
player.
The Knicks do well, and I want to see Melo actually play in the fourth quarter and have some energy
and not
be tired in the fourth quarter.
That's why they want more
depth.
He needs to hit the gym.
That's what he needs to do. He's getting paid well. $124 million? He took less money? $5 million?
He's in good shape.
Play some defense.
He's in world-class shape.
Play some defense. Shoot 50% from the field. How about Melo do that? How about he does that, huh?
He's playing soccer. You know, that's good stamina. He's getting in shape with his footwork.
$5 million less and talking like he's a world. Doing way too $11 million less.
Well, he can do all he wants, but...
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the difference from people that want to win and people who are there for the money.
Well, you know, in that situation as well, all that stuff. But we'll talk about that more next time. But, you know, our discussion about football, we'll discuss that more throughout the season. Hopefully, it's a great season for the Jets and Giants. This is on Sports Talk, 1240 AM, WGBB in Long Island. I'm Aaron Mora.
I'm Brian White.
Have a great night.
Bless you all.
See you next time.
Not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.